Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle. The Bigger Picture with Ryan Hwang.
Money FM 89.3. Good morning. It's the breakfast huddle. Right now it's time for the Bigger Picture with Ryan Hwang.
Well, October is historically one of the most volatile trading months, and so far it's starting off that way, isn't it, Ryan?
That's right, Bharati. So after Monday's sell-off, markets are bouncing back. In fact, we had a big bounce back or rebound in technology as bargain hunters came out in force, and that shook off the rising bond yields we saw overnight, which crept up around 5 basis points to 1.5%. And in the quarters ahead, investors will have a lot to digest. Right now, you've got overnight headlines. IMF cutting its global growth forecast because of what it calls the vaccination divide. And also, you've got China now taking a bit of a step back or a bit of a U-turn when it comes to what it wants to do with its coal miners, ordering them to now produce as much as possible. And companies are also warning of rising costs and supply chain bottlenecks, so that could have an impact on the upcoming earnings season. To get a bigger picture, we've got Abhilash Narayan. He is the Senior Investment Strategist at Standard Chartered Private Bank. Morning, Abhilash. How are you doing today?
Good morning, Ryan.
Hey, Abhilash, let's get your overview on markets first. Now, it seems like we've got rising bond yields as inflation expectations pick up. Historically, that's good news for sectors like energy and financials. So right now, what's your view on tech? Where does that leave tech on your radar right now?
So if you look at the technology sector, we are neutral on it. So like you rightly mentioned, rising bond yields is something that typically acts as a headwind for technology sector. And if you look at the recent scrutiny that we have seen around some tech giants, not only in China, but also in US, then the odds of, you know, some pullback in technology sector, however minor it may be, do increase. But we think that, you know, on a 12-month horizon, it still makes sense to be neutral, not underweight tech, because the next year earnings are going to normalize from the elevated levels this year. And at that point of time, we think that the high earnings growth that technology sector typically delivers will become, more and more valued by investors. So, you know, in the near term, more challenges ahead, but on a 12-month horizon, should be okay.
All right, so a bit neutral on technology. And if you look at what's happening in China, you've got them ordering banks to ramp up funding to help the coal industry produce as much as they can because of the shortage of coal to power their winter requirements. What do you take away from this? Is this a signal to go even more bullish into energy stocks?
Well, I wouldn't go as far as that. So clearly, if you look at the energy crisis in China, it's a miscalculation of many factors, right? Ranging from reduced funding for coal miners earlier, lower imports from Australia, right? China used to import a lot from Australia, and surge in factory demand as global economic recovery led to a greater consumer spending. Now, in the near term, the Beijing's directive to prioritize funding to coal miners is a positive, but we know it takes time to boost production. So yes, some coal miners may do well in the short run, but in the longer run, the concerns or the focus around ESG is going to weigh on coal miners. But, you know, at a broader level, we think that the power shortage is going to hurt industrial production and, you know, the corporate profitability for Chinese companies. And, you know, at the margin, it may nudge PBOC to ease policy further in the coming months.
Yeah, talking about easing policy, Abhilash, what will that mean for the property market? Because it looks like there are increasing signs of stress there, where you have now another developer failing to make a bond payment. Fantasia did not repay a bond that matured on Monday. So it really sends more jitters there.
Yes, absolutely. So, I mean, markets have been pricing in, sort of near probable certainty of default or restructuring for Evergrande. But, you know, the latest development for Fantasia does come as somewhat of a surprise. But we have been highlighting that, you know, some smaller and weaker developers could also default. And that's what's happened. And the reason is you've seen a sharp slowdown in property sales. And that, you know, deprives the property developers of, a valuable source of cash flow. Now, I think the Chinese authorities are likely to step in at some point of time, whether it's in the next week or in the next 2 weeks. But, you know, if you look at property sector, it accounts for almost 20% of China's GDP when you look at all the related sectors. So the longer the uncertainty extends, the greater the drag on Chinese GDP growth. And on top of that, we have the power crunch that we talked about. And we've seen Chinese government ask local authorities to help to see if they can help complete the project. They've asked banks to support property markets. So, you know, it's difficult to call a bottom, but we think that, you know, we are at levels where, you know, Chinese property bonds, Chinese high-yield property bonds are starting to look quite attractive. So we think Asian high yield bonds is a good way to play the dip in China property.
Yeah, Abhilash, talking about the growth outlook, the IMF has cut its 2021 growth outlook for the global picture. So it's citing a vaccine divide, and that will mean its July forecast of 6% will now be trimmed slightly. What's your take on this? Is this something you're considering into your market allocation, where you're moving away from some markets, for example, developing ones, and in favor of more developed ones?
Yes, absolutely. So we have seen a differentiation when it comes to vaccination, right? So if you look at most of developed markets, US and Europe, they're all, and even Singapore, we're talking about a booster dose, right? But for a lot of emerging markets, they are still yet to vaccinate even 50% of the population. And that does, at the margin, push back the emerging markets' growth recovery. So, you know, as a result for 2022, for instance, we expect U.S. and European growth to be above pre-COVID growth levels. But as for emerging markets, we think that the growth levels will be below the levels we saw in 2019. And that's the reason why we think that, you know, strong growth combined with policy certainty in U.S. And Europe means that U.S. and European equities should outperform global equities, whereas, you know, slower growth plus policy uncertainty like we have seen in China mean that emerging market equities are less likely to do well relative to U.S. and European counterparts.
And I'm pleased to wrap things up with your take on the earnings season coming up. Of course, we've heard a lot from companies in the past few weeks. For example, overnight, we've got PepsiCo warning it might raise prices again early next year. It will be it just raised prices not too long ago, and it's citing reasons like the supply chain issues, and that's led to a shortage of bottles, not enough truck drivers. So when you take that into account, how much of a higher cost will this mean for companies down the road, and how much will this squeeze their margins? Will they be able to pass it on to consumers when you look at the patchy recovery picture that's just on the horizon?
Yeah, I think when we think about earnings, one thing we need to keep in mind is that generally we've seen a trend that companies tend to downplay the expectations, and then they like to come in with strong earnings and surprise the markets to the upside. So it remains to be seen whether this is a continuation of that trend. But clearly, we've seen the supply chain bottlenecks extend longer than what a lot of experts expected. And, you know, inflation in some of the sectors such as shipping, chips, is proving, you know, more sticky than previously expected. So, yes, there are going to be some pressures as far as margins are concerned. But overall, we still think that, you know, earnings for Q3, Q4 should be very, very strong, partly held by the base effect and partly by the fact that, you know, the absolute revenues are rising. So, yes, margins may compress a bit, but at the end of the day, profit is, you know, your margins into your net units sold. So, if the total revenues are rising, that still means that companies can deliver stronger total earnings.
All right, we'll see if these earnings do beat the low bar that seems to be set up right now. We'll be talking with Abhilash Narayan. He is the Senior Investment Strategist at Standard Chartered Private Bank. Abhilash, thank you for your time this morning.
Thank you, Ryan.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.